All right, sir. How did you like Star Wars?
I walked out in the middle of it, and I mean, after 15 minutes.
I saw you.
June 30th, 1977. Interviewing Aaron Levinson. Aaron, last time we finished, we were talking about the Young Presidents Organization, and Rhoda had a question.
Well, was it started initially to give training to young presidents or just to have them get together in a social manner?
Well, it was really both. I don't know whether I told you about Ray Hickok. I may have, who was a young man, president of a large corporation. I don't know how old he was, probably in his late 20s or early 30s, and he felt kind of alone, and he decided that he'd like to have some other people to talk with about how it feels to be a young president. And so he started this organization, and really for two things, to compare notes with each other, and have seminars, and also to bring in speakers. There, as a matter of fact, the young presidents today, and even when I was a member in the later years, their annual convention was not called an annual convention. It's called a school for presidents, and they bring in professors from Harvard and from other business schools, and they have seminars at Harvard conducted by the Young Presidents Organization, and I think at other universities as well. So it's And at their meetings, they often bring in speakers. So it's educational as well as comparing notes.
Did you find any problems being a Jew in there since when it was started in the early 50s? Or?
No, I didn't. There were quite a few Jewish members, and there are quite a few Jewish members nationally and in Pittsburgh. Among some of the Pittsburgh people who belonged to YPO who were Jewish were Leon Kozlov and Bill Stark and Joe Katz and Ira Gort and Lou Mallett. And today, you know, there are many more. Marie Reed Gort, my cousin Jim Levinson, your cousin too, Stan Gumberg, who just got out. So there's lots of Jewish people that are in it. And there's no reason for us to feel uncomfortable. Now, I find that at conventions generally, that there are some Jewish people that kind of look for other Jewish people. They feel more comfortable with them. And that's, you know, it's a matter of how your head's fixed on you. I don't have to do that. I never did. I can feel comfortable with people. And I, you know, sometimes Jewish people have a tendency to seek me and my wife out so that, you know, they feel a little more relaxed. But I think that's kind of a natural thing, and after a while I feel more comfortable with others. But by and large, the members of the Young Presidents, with a few exceptions, did not make Jewish people feel uncomfortable because of their religion. You may ask some other member of YPO, they may tell you something else, but that was my experience.
And all we're interested in is your experience. You've been so very active in the Pittsburgh community, both Jewish and the community at large. Did that start because it was a tradition with the family?
I don't know. Sometimes hard to analyze why people live their lives the way they do. There are many influences on a person's life. I'm sure that my father had a great influence on my life. I'm sure that I know that I was always impressed with the fact that he was interested enough to get involved in things in the community. I was impressed with other people who were active in the community. And I think I picked, there's a word they use these days. I never used it before right now, but there's a word they use called role models. I guess it means that there's some people that you kind of look to and then try to emulate a little. But there's a lot who I did. The late Sammy Weiss, who later became president of our foundation, and a lot like him, and their enthusiasm. I was always impressed with my dad. My dad used to say to me things like, people who earn their living in a community have an obligation beyond earning profits for their stockholders. They have some responsibility to the community in which they earn their living. And I suppose that kind of was part of it. And I found that as I got active in community things, that I felt that I was able to make a contribution, and I felt good about the things that I was doing. And, you know, people do things they enjoy doing. I think I've enjoyed it.
Tell us about the things that you have done in the community.
You have several hours.
Yeah, well, that's... We have to, whatever time you have.
Yeah. Well, of course, I have always felt that if a Jewish person, particularly because of the problems that Jewish people have had and because of Israel and because of discrimination, if a Jewish person wants to get active in the general community, he has to pay his dues in the Jewish community first. Now, some Jewish people don't do that, but I felt that I should. That if I wanted to get active and host of non-Jewish things, or I shouldn't say non-Jewish, but general community things that I've been active in, that I first should let it be known that I plan to also be active in the Jewish community. And for that reason, I have been active in the United Jewish Federation and in the Jewish Community Center. And just the night before last, I installed some officers in Steel City Lodge of B'nai B'rith, and recalled that in 1948, I was installed as president of that lodge myself almost 30 years ago. And I've always been interested in the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith and other things in the Jewish community as they come up, one at a time. Even things that I'm not real active in, I'm interested in. I've never been active in the American Jewish Committee. People think of it almost as a competitor to the Anti-Defamation League, but, you know, I go to their functions, I'm interested. Of course, I can't be active in all of them. So I've been interested and active in, especially, well, in 1958, I was the general chairman of the BJF drive. It was an interesting time because prior to that, the people who were active and running the Jewish community were older people. Older than I was in 58. 1958, I was about 30 years younger than I am now, so I was in my 30s. I'm 60, almost 63, so I was 32 or 33, or whatever I was. But I do remember that at that time, men like Lou Reisenstein, my dad, Walter Burke, Mr. Horlick, a number of older men were really the leaders in the community. others like Stanley Kahn. I can't remember Stanley Kahn, you know, was president of the hospital, but none of their vintage. And they got together and they said, we haven't done a good enough job of bringing our young people along. And so maybe we ought to kind of become the elder statesman of the community and bring some young people along. And so I don't remember whether it was, you know, a meeting was called with some of the young people, or I just don't know how it happened. But I do know that at that time, they asked Bill Stark, who was a contemporary of mine, and Jim Cohen is a contemporary of mine, and Dave Lowenthal, who's a contemporary of mine, one or two others perhaps, if we would begin to take a leadership position. I don't know whether it was, it may have been that whoever was the executive director of the UJF may have called us young fellows together and said, this is what the older people said. I don't remember how it was done. But I do remember that they asked me that first year if I would be the general chairman of the United Jewish Federation Drive. I said I would. So that was 58, and I've been on the board most of the years since. Sometimes, of course, I've taken the required sabbatical leave from it. I'll tell you about other community activities, but first let me talk about the Jewish community of Pittsburgh. I really love the Jewish community, but I think, you know, I don't know any other Jewish community, but I can't imagine any other like it. Maybe it's changing now, but if it is, I don't know. But at least during the years starting with 58, when we younger people were asked to take a leadership position, I haven't seen among the top leadership a desire for blue ribbons or for recognition or for testimonials. It just seems like, and I really think it continues that way, that it seems like that everybody's attitude is, I'll do whatever I can do to help. Wherever I can best serve the community, I will. I don't need to be president of anything. I don't need any honors. And that's been the attitude. And I think it continues, because I see guys who are so dedicated. Guys like Amos Comey. Well, you know, a couple of the others that were brought in at that time were Lester Hamburg and Alvin Rogial, whose fathers also were very active in the Jewish community and leaders. But I see nothing except that kind of an attitude. I know in other communities they talk about covet, and people want to get covet. They don't want to do anything unless they get a proper kind of recognition. I've never seen that kind of an attitude in the Jewish community. And as a result, people give as much as they can, when they can, and in years when they can't. Everybody knows that they would if they could. They give both. In the true spirit of giving, I remember the book, The Prophet, where they talk about, you know, they have the sections on different things, and one is on giving. And the true giving is when you give of yourself. And without necessarily getting, you know, a lot of publicity or recognition for giving. And I think that's the kind of giving that people in the Jewish community have that we've experienced in Pittsburgh. That's reason, one of the reasons I'm in love with the Jewish community of Pittsburgh. So I know you didn't want a speech about that.
No, we did.
But that's about my activities in the Jewish community. But I've always felt that I also should reach out. I, at one time, was on the board of the United Fund. I don't think they call it I guess they call it the United Way now. But I was on that board once and enjoyed it and felt honored and privileged that they thought enough of me to ask me to be on that board. I was on the board when they first organized organized a thing called the Hospital Planning Association, and that was the coordinating agency to be sure that when there was any capital improvements or new hospitals, that it was coordinated for either all of Allegheny County or all of Pittsburgh, whichever the organization covered. And of course, over the years, I've been in many different things in the general community. Right now, I'm on the board of the things I can remember, the Pittsburgh Public Theater, and WQED. I haven't even attended my first board meeting. As a matter of fact, the reason I have to leave at 11:30 is because I have a meeting about that at the Standard Club at 12 o'clock, a little luncheon that I'm sponsoring with some of our Jewish people. I've invited, Al Rogel and Frieda Shapiro and a few people in our Jewish community, Bill Stark, because I've been asked to see what we can do about getting some of our Jewish people a little more involved in public television.
Is that why possibly you took the chairmanship this year of the QED auction?
No.
It was just your own interest in...
No, it's just that I was asked to, and it's another community thing. That's another thing I was, is general chairman of the great TV auction this year. Jay Ravitt is, I don't know his title, but he's the guy that really runs it. Runs the whole station, and it's an interesting thing. I'm sure it's of no interest to that record. But the very first day, he and his wife and his kids came to Pittsburgh to even see about the job. They were sitting in Weinstein's restaurant. My wife and I were sitting. They had these booths where they butt against each other, right next to them. I don't know how many years ago. And I always greet people. I said hi to them, and we got into a conversation. They told us that this was their first day in town, and he was going to go to work for WQED. I said, if I could be of help, he remembered it years later. I didn't, but he called it to my attention. So WQED, Duquesne University is on a new board I'm on. I at one time was on the board of the Pittsburgh Public Theater. I don't mean that, of the Point Park College. I'm on the board of the Urban League. I've been very active also in this whole field of fight against discrimination wherever its ugly head appears. And for that reason, I'm a life member of the NAACP. This is the second time I was on the board of the Urban League. I was on the board of that 13, 14 years ago. They asked me to come back. And way back in the 40s, in the early 40s, I was on the Industrial Relations Committee of the Urban League. And I remember so well the people and I was very active in the Urban League, even though at that time I don't think I was on the board. Some of the people that I became very friendly with and have been very close friends all these years are Lou Mason, who later became president of the city council. He was the head of the industrial, he was the executive director, not the executive director, he was the director of the industrial relations department. Leroy Irvis was the head of public relations. And Leroy and his wife was... His first wife had died, Kitten, and Lou and his wife, Dorothea, and Sonia and I, we were very close friends. We do many things together, six of us. Dorothea went to work at Levinson Steel way back in the days when it wasn't that popular in the 40s to hire black people, and we didn't call them black in those days, we called them Negro. They hired Negroes for clerical jobs and secretarial jobs. She joined our secretarial staff way back then. But I've been active in this field a lot and interested And as this whole business of race relations changed, I've stayed close to it. I've been interested in school integration and community integration and the whole business.
You also at one time had that camp achievement thing where you were trying to organize.
Right, I was chairman of the board of camp achievement. And when Mrs. Ellery came to see me, told me about all these kids who lived in the slums and they'd get a couple of weeks out in the country. You know, my heart went out to those people, and I said, can I help any way I can? And I really gave myself to it. A lot. I mean, I just, you know, and I got a lot of people interested. I remember I got Dominic Navarro went down to give his high lift and maybe to clear roads to help build that camp. And Don Peters, the head of Mellon Stewart, to help build that main hall. And Ed Ryan built all the cabins. He had a little boy who was had some problem with it. I don't remember, he was in a wheelchair, and his heart went out to kids, of course. Ed Ryan's one of my favorite people in the whole world. He just does great things. He knows the true spirit of giving. But I was able to get, I had the whole building construction industry. Formed a Friends of Camp Achievement committee. We just did, my friend Ray Talbot was there. But I don't know where to begin or end on things that I've been involved in.
With Camp Achievement, for the record, because this does go into the Hillman Library, probably. When was Camp Achievement started, and about how long?
I wish I knew. I don't know. I'll tell you all of that. A lot about it is Pauline Israel. She could probably tell you a lot about it, because she worked with me at that time. She was a full-time employee for the Levinson Foundation, and she was helping me with it. So she may know. She probably knows a lot more about it. If you haven't interviewed her, she'd be a great one to do.
She was.
Okay.
But something went wrong with the tape, so we've been talking about redoing it. I've done interviews with her.
She's
great.
She's terrific, and Mrs. Friedberg's another one that's terrific.
Yeah. She's been done.
Good.
I
don't know what else to tell you about my activities in the Jewish community. The one thing that I can tell you is that even though, you know, I never had any particular interest or desire in joining the Duquesne Club or anything like that. I suppose if one wants to join, they initiate themselves. I don't know how it works. But that's never been my great interest. But I've always been interested in hoping that clubs, would, members of clubs would, you know, forget about people's religion or race when they think about new members. But somehow or other, in spite, even though that wasn't true, a lot of the executives in the large corporations, and I became friendly. I mean, I had numbered among my friends people like that, maybe through things like the United Fund. I don't know how, but I related well to people like Fletcher Barham of Coppers and Bob Dickey of Vaux and, you know, and Jim Higgins today and Mellon Bank and people like that. And for that reason, I've been involved with them in a lot of community things. I don't know whether I'm answering your question or telling you something new.
You are. Could you tell us a little about the formation of the Levinson Foundation?
Well, I can tell you that, a little bit about it, and Pauline can probably tell you a little bit about it. We may even have the history of it written up, but I do know that, you know, I don't know a ton of dates back in the 20s and 30s, that my father and his brothers used to put aside whatever, part of their earnings every year and give it to the YMHA. You know, the YMHA
went
through periods of name changes and everything, but the YMHA. And they'd say, hold it in a special fund. Someday we want to honor our parents. And so year after year they put something into a special fund. And they take it out of the company. And then somehow there were years in which we couldn't do it because we didn't have any earnings. And at that time, my father, who was head of the company's attorney, was a company called Weil Christian Weil. It was a guy named Junior Weil, Alia Weil Jr., and his brother Ferdinand Weil, a guy named Christian, were these guys. And the Weil's father started the firm. The reason I mention about their firm is that was a... That became a famous name too. There's an Alia Weil school because Mr. Weil was a very important man to me. But they were my dad's attorneys. I say my dad's, I mean the company's. But and one of the Weils said, you know, what you really ought to have is a foundation, so that you could put money into the foundation with him in good years, and the foundation can make contributions whether the company's making any money or not. That was the reason for it, and he suggested it to my father, to his brothers, and it started. And I do remember when it started, there were five life trustees. My dad and I think there were five, there may have been six. There were six. Another five. There were my dad and his three brothers who were in the company. There's Abe, Jack, and Emmanuel, and Pauline can confirm this if you need to know about it. And then myself, because we were all, the five of us were in the company. And then there were some trustees that were elected annually. If I remember correctly, my dad's brother Hyman, who wasn't part of the company, was elected as an annual member. He was a member from the beginning until he died, but I don't think he was considered a life trustee. There were only two life trustees left, McFarland, Emmanuel, and myself. And that was the reason for the beginning. But, you know, people think of the Levinson Foundation as a rather large family foundation. It really hasn't been. It's been a hand-to-mouth thing. We've been given away almost as much as we've been getting every year. We don't have very much of a base because, you know, in bad year, corporation years, we do dip into it quite a bit. And we do contribute to not as many Jewish family foundations do just to Jewish things, but to everything. So that's about it. Bert Levinson's the president now. You probably know that.
I didn't know that.
He's a cousin of yours.
Yes, I know. I know that I know, but I didn't know he was president of the foundation.
He's cousin of mine too.
Yeah. We know, of course, about the camp in Monroeville that the foundation has.
Yeah, right.
Would you tell us some of the other projects they've done?
Did I tell you about that?
No, we just know.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I can remember so distinctly is that, you know, this money that was set aside, we finally decided that the project we were going to participate in was going to be a day camp for children in Monroeville. And Mr. Rogel, who was a very friendly competitor of my dad, I don't know why I say that, but it was true. They were friends, and somehow they competed for ideas, and I can't tell you how, what that was all about. But Mr. Ergau was part of, well, I know we consulted with him and talked about, he and my dad were both very active in the Y, about what we should do, and we jointly decided it should be a day camp. And I remember, even my dad wasn't too well or what, no, I don't know why, but I was delegated to be, to go out to Monroeville. That was the area we looked. Mr. Ergau would go with us and others. Connected with the Y, there was a guy named Harry Savage and others interested in the Y. We'd go out there and trudge around and looking for property Saturday after Saturday, all those years and years ago, to find the right piece of property. And when we did, we took this money that